To my extraordinary mother, Liz, who told me the story that inspired this novel. You continue to inspire me each and every day. And to my fabulous husband, Chuck, who guided me out of the depths of writer's block by saying, "Well, you better write something." This one's for you. Prologue. I keep seeing her face, upturned in the pool. Her long hair darkened by the water, stringy and tangled and noodling around her neck. Her eyes are closed, her body floating. Her lips are parted just slightly, and it looks as if she's resting, tranquil and at peace. Of course, it wasn't like that at all. Her body was found face down in a puddle of mud-soaked leaves. A shotgun blast had shredded her back. She was slumped down next to the edge of the lake, and near the silty shoreline, the lake water is the color of rust, not a sparkling turquoise. But the pool was the first place I saw her. A week later, she was dead. Chapter 1. Tuesday, March 13th, 2018. Things are different tonight. Electric and humming. There's a charge building in the air, crackling and buzzing through me, and I can pinpoint the moment this morning when everything shifted. When my flat, dull routine of walking from room to room, collecting wads of wilted laundry, became something more luminous, something pulsing with an energy of anticipation, so that even then, as I stuffed the washer with clothes and shook a thin layer of soap flakes over the top, I knew my day would follow a different course than the one usually mapped out by me, a stay-at-home mom. I'm at the local wine bar now, waiting for Aaron. We're meeting for happy hour, and I'm outside at one of the bistro tables, the light from the sun dancing in my glass of Chardonnay, the taste buttery and sharp on the back of my tongue. It was a frigid 38 degrees here this morning, but by late afternoon, it had climbed to 80, our first warm snap this spring, and I'm taking full advantage sitting out here like this. I'm tapping on my iPhone, scrolling through my Facebook feed, but finding nothing interesting. Just more back-to-school posts, even though we're well into March. It's endless. Day number 63 of second grade. Or, time, please slow down. They grow up too fast. The kinds of updates I wince at and can't bring myself to post. I place my phone down on the table and stretch my bare legs, letting the sun warm them. It feels so good to be in a dress. I can't remember the last time I wore one, and I've piled my hair in a neat but relaxed bun, hoping for chic but effortlessly so. Silver earrings in the shape of feathers tickle my neck as I turn to scan the crowd, hoping to spot them as soon as they arrive. This morning, when everything tilted, so that my day would end here instead of at the dinner table with Graham and Jack, watching Jack mop up spaghetti sauce with an elbow of crusty bread, adorable streaks of orange painting his cherub cheeks. I had just finished my morning jog on the trail that runs through the woods near our house. I had stepped inside the back door and peeled off my yoga pants, which were drenched with sweat and sucking and clinging to my thighs, and slid back into my comfy flannel PJs. It's cold here. Not Chicago cold, of course, but the humidity makes it a vicious, different kind of cold that grabs its icy paws around your bones and doesn't let go. Still shivering, I padded to the kitchen and steamed some milk for a second latte and rubbed my hands together, trying to warm up. I powered up my laptop in the home office, just a small nook, really, in the back parlor, and was just beginning to type in my password for Facebook when I heard a loud banging at the front door. I figured it was the FedEx man with yet another of my online purchases. Maybe a case of Illy Espresso, our favorite,